God, I exalt. exalted, Lord. We worship you. Above all the earth, thou art exalted, far above all God. And we exalt you, Lord. That's the one. He's not my man.
You're not a man, no. You're the God who opens doors no man can shut. You're not a man, man, no. You're not a man, no. You're the God of everything, no one like you.
That's the right one. You're not a man,
no. You're not a man, no. You're the God who opens doors no man can shut. You're not a man, no. You're not a man, no. You're the God of everything.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. We give God praise. Hallelujah. Thank God for His faithfulness and for the grace that He's accorded us to be called sons, daughters of the Most High God. Tonight we are going to continue our discuss from the Word of God as we continue to explore the subject of destiny, helpers, blockers, and switchers. Yes, they're destiny switchers. They don't necessarily block you. They just take what you are supposed to be and live out your life. That's a strange one, but it's also a very real issue. And the bottom line to all of this is that we are going to, by the Word of God, by exercising the integrity of the Word of God, put a stop to all of those things. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your presence. We thank you, O God, for the spiritual reset that's happening in all of our lives as you bring us to a place of newness, a place, O God, of empowerment, a place, O God, where grace sufficient is fulfilling its divine purpose. For we are very aware that we have to let you be God in our lives for you to be God. Ultimately, you be God, fully God, whether we like it or not. But you've given us a will. We are called to work within the parameters of the governmental mandates that you've established in the earth. There are laws that reign and rule in our planet, not only in the natural, but in the spiritual realm. And Lord, oh God, we want to be on the right side of every principle. So, Father, that your name may be exalted and that we fulfill our mandate. And we cry out, oh God, to you, asking for help. We want to be fruitful. We want to do that which you've called us to do. We want one day to be welcomed in and hearing those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Help us, O God, fulfill the mandate you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me start out this evening by saying, fulfilling your destiny is very important. Because you fulfilling your destiny is not just about you, it's about other people. That's why things like abortion are very bad things to do. Because every individual, every person has a particular assignment. Can you imagine? Right this very moment, I'm communicating with you through this medium. You're at home, I'm here, and you're watching or listening or streaming or whatever, whatever platform you're using. Somebody worked out the details for how these platforms operate, the science behind it, the physics behind it. It didn't just happen. Somebody did it. Can you imagine that the persons, all of the persons involved that brought about every platform that we're using right now, made it possible for you and I to have computers and made it possible for us to tap into what we call the internet, made it possible for us to have cameras, made it possible for us to understand lighting and on, that every one of them were aborted. Think about that a moment. Just think about it, that the doctor that you go to in the hospital that did a very wonderful surgery, or the pharmacologist that came up with a particular medication, was aborted. You'd be dead. They were born helpless. They were born weak. They were born uneducated. Some of them came from wealthy homes. Some of them came from very poor homes. Some of the greatest men and prophets of God in our age and in our time were people that should have been discarded. Even Jesus Christ, our Lord, was a perfect candidate for an abortion, don't you think? A young girl is pregnant and saying, well, it just happened. What do you mean it just happened? Oh, I received a vision and I had a dream and the Spirit of God spoke and that's how I got pregnant. Right. Who wants to believe that story? Aren't you glad that you were not aborted? But we do not just abort persons, we abort dreams, goals, desires. We quench the fire in so many. And we're in an age and in a time, not so much, well, I won't say not so much, it's in Canada, it's not as blatant as it is down south, where can't imagine it. Math is supposed to be racist. I say stop stepping on the necks of people and dumbing them down and reducing their capacity to think. Give them what they need so that they can flourish. Don't start dumbing down everybody and oh, it's a crazy world out there. How can you say that math is racist? You know, that's insulting to those races that they are saying they're dumbing down things for. I may not be the smartest mathematician, but I know a lot of people of color that are really, really smart mathematicians. Why do you have to dumb down people? No, you encourage people. You don't block them. That is evil. You help them become the best they can be. You enhance their potential. Destiny helpers help people come to their fullness. Destiny blockers dumb down people. Don't be one in power that is helping to dumb down people, because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. Because people are going to wise up and they're going to begin to pray. And it's not a good place to be. Anyhow, that was a rough start, wasn't it? That was spit and fire. I want you to get the point. Last week, we were looking at the life of a king called Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a wonderful king, smart king, and one day he decided to rebel against the king of Assyria. Sennacherib. By the way, the word Assyria means a step. And right here I have steps. These steps can either lead me down, there are steps down, or step up. Steps are benign. Steps make no decisions for you. You make the decision whether you're going to step down or step up. Steps are just that. Helping whatever it is that you decide you want to do. You want to step down? You step down. You want to step up? You step up. That was Assyria. A step. You can step forward or you can step backwards or you can step sideways. Those are steps. Anyhow, he rebels against Sennacherib. And the Bible tells us that Sennacherib was ruling from a place called Lachish. Lachish, the word means invisible. Invisible. Isn't it interesting that it means invisible? Because what we are dealing with in real life is happening in the invisible realm, in a very spiritual realm. Hezekiah rebelled and Sennacherib says, "What did you do? I'm coming after you." And Hezekiah began to shake. It takes that which belongs to God, from the house of God, from the palaces of God, and hands it over. But that still did not satisfy the anger of Sennacherib. Sennacherib was coming after him. Sennacherib was going to destroy him. Sennacherib was going to mess him up and have him as a lesson. Let everybody know you don't mess with me, King of Assyria. Don't you know who you're dealing with? I am King Sennacherib. Ah. This guy is scared. Sends everything over and thinks this is going to appease Sennacherib, but Sennacherib was not going to take any of that. He's going to come after him and he is going to make sure that he pays. And you might wonder, what is that name about? Sennacherib. Sennacherib means multiplied sin, or you might put it this way, multiplied sinful brothers. Huh, that's his name. Is that not how the enemy comes and brings the control of sin over lives? To block people. Hezekiah was doing a great job. He was bringing restoration to the nation, turning things around. And he had been marked. And many times, saints, we need to pray for our leaders that are standing up against the onslaught of the enemy, because they are men. And they can get scared, they can get spooked. And so he gets spooked, he sends everything out, and true to fact, Sennacherib sends out his chief leaders to go and harass the people of Judah. Verse 17 of chapter 18, 2 Kings 18 says, "And the king of Assyria sent Tatan and Rabsaris and Rabshakeh." Tatan was a military leader, one of the chief leaders, a field marshal, a general of the army. And Rabsaris is the second leader that he sends. And Rabsaris is a chief chamberlain. Rabsaris. Okay? This chief chamberlain is most likely a eunuch. And so these are right-hand men of the king. And he also sends Rabshakeh. Rabshakeh is his cupbearer. And he sends these guys and these chief leaders, and they go and they begin to speak the language, not the Syrian language, but this language of the Jews. And what are they pouring out against these men and women of God? Evil words to cause them to fail. Where do they go? The Bible says they came in verse 17. It says, and they went up and came to Jerusalem. And when they were come up, they came and stood by the conduit, the channel of the upper pool. Why are they there? Because they want to mess up whatever the water that is coming down to the people, which is the highway of the fuller's field. The place, the fuller's field, is a place for bleaching and taking care of things that the Jews had to address. And they are pouring out evil words, just seeding negativity into the lives of those, the Bible says, that were sitting on the walls. And they're telling the people not to believe Hezekiah. Hezekiah is just a fool. Haven't you guys heard about our king and how he's defeated all the enemies? Who wish God? And by the way, this lying devil said, God sent us to bring Hezekiah down. Lies. They were feeding the crowd with lies and more lies. And we got up to about verse 35 last, or 32, between 32 and 35. Let's take it from verse 35. This is part of what they were saying. Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered their country out of mine hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of mine hand? After he lied the lie that God sent him, now he's saying, which God? Even your God cannot stop me, cannot deliver you out of mine hand. Choose which one you want. Let's go on. But the people held their peace. Praise the Lord. The people held their peace and answered him not a word. They kept their mouth shut. Why? For the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. Don't respond to them. Don't dialogue with the enemy. So they did not answer. Then came Eliakim. That's an interesting name, Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah. Eliakim means one that God raises. The son of Hilkiah. And the Bible tells us, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe. Shebna the scribe, that name means one that is filled with vigor and growth. And Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah with their close rant. They came back to Hezekiah, their close rant. They had listened to all of these lies, and they come to the king, their close rant, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. Rabshakeh was the main spokesperson. And the Bible goes on and says, and it came to pass, chapter 19, when the king Hezekiah heard it, when he heard what they had said, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. When he saw what was happening, he went to the house of the Lord. This is a sign of repentance. Initially, when he found the threat, he took what belonged to God and handed it over to the enemy. This time, he comes to the house of the Lord. There's no more money to send. Do you want to get down way to the bottom where you have nothing, and then that's when you discover prayer? That's when you discover that you have a God? It is hard to believe that Hezekiah came to this particular point in his life. He'd been doing so well, but fear is an insidious thing that will cut you down. If you don't surround yourself with the word of God consistently, he had a prophet, Isaiah, that he could connect with all the while. But somehow he disconnected himself. I don't know how that came about, but it's so possible that when you're doing well, you can become arrogant and prideful and think that you don't need God. Anyhow, he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests covered with sackcloth to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz. See, when you've got a prophet in your life, use them. And he said unto him, thus said Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble. Wow. And of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children are come to birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. The children have come to the place of birthing a new season, birthing a new life, birthing a destiny. And there's no strength to bring it about. Why? There is a threat from Assyria. I stepped down and I gave them everything. Now I'm stepping back up. And I'm crying out for help. It's called repentance. A change of thinking. A change in the mind. And the Lord is speaking to us as his people tonight. It's time to repent and stop relying on whatever it is that you had. That's you, that's me. Every one of us. Because you cannot keep on doing the same old and expecting a different result. Not if God wants you to make a move. This was the adage he sent to the man of God. Children are come to birth, and there's not strength to bring forth. Something is happening. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh. It may be the Lord thy God. You see, he's come down to the place where he has no sense of worth anymore. And now he's in Isaiah, your God, your God. Because I messed up, your God. God doesn't want you to come to that place where you saying it's the other person's God. No. Jesus said, my God and your God, my Father and your Father. God wants you to come into a place of relationship and never lose it. Maybe you hear the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, had sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God had heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. Verse 5. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. 6. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid. It is fear that brought him into this problem. Now God speaks to him, be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Don't be afraid. They picked a fight with me, they're going to have it. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. He challenged me. I'm going to send a blast, an alert, a news blast. I'm going to send a blast, and he's going to hear a rumor, and he's going to get busy. May God cause all of your blockers to become busy with issues that will overwhelm them. It's beginning to happen. God said, push back the darkness. And I don't know if you're watching and listening to the news. As we have been pushing back the darkness, things are beginning to fall apart in different spots. Those who have threatened the body of Christ are about to see the hand of God. They're going to get busy with issues in the mighty name of the living God. Those who are trying to block you are about to experience troubles that are beyond description. Maybe I'll get there tonight. Maybe not. He's going to fall in his own land. Let's go on. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna. Warring against Libna, God has engaged him in a different war, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish, from the invisible realm. He had moved from that invisible realm of Lachish, and he is battling in Libna. God is causing this man to experience the pain he wanted to cause Israel, or rather cause Judah. God is going to get your enemy, the one who is seeking your pain. He's going to cause every single one of them to be engaged with another battle. So he is in Libna. What is this? Libna. Libna is a pavement. And pavement, as you know, are landing spots, plateaued spots. God got him out of the invisible realm to a pavement. He's going to be smashed here. It said, Bible says, and when he heard say of Tekhaka, king of Ethiopia, behold, he's come out to fight against thee, he sent messengers again unto Hezekiah, saying, verse 10, thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trusted deceive thee. You see this? They are unrelenting. He's out. His king is out there. And he wants to hone in on the people of Israel still, or rather Judah, still to tell them that they should not think that this is over. And this is where a lot of believers fail. When they think the enemy is gone, and then all of a sudden they hear something else is coming again. He's coming again. And they start shaking and fretting. And that's exactly the ploy of the enemy here. He's saying, let not thy God in whom thou trusted deceive thee. Not only should Hezekiah not deceive you, let not God deceive you. Wow. Saying Jerusalem shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. These cohorts of the enemy were still pushing. They're still propagating fear. And I'm saying to you, child of God, don't buy into fear. Let's go on. He says, behold, thou hast heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? We've got a track record. Have the gods of the nations delivered them, which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan and Haran and Rezeph and the children of Eden, which were in Tel Assar? Huh? Where is the king of Hamath? And the king of Apad? And the king of the city of Sepharvaim? And Hena and Eva? Where are those guys? And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord. Ah, don't you love it? He goes back, not in fear this time. He goes back with his letters. You see, all of those words of the enemy, you're supposed to bring to the altar of the Lord. And he spread it before the Lord, says, this is what they're saying. This is what they are saying. They are saying that I'm going to die from cancer. That this cancer is going to return. I thought I had a remission, but they say that I'm going to die from this. But I come and I present a letter. This is what the doctor said. This is what the economist, this is what my banker said. This is what the guy who's holding my mortgage is saying, that I am going to be thrown out of my house. This is what they're saying, that I'm not going to be free from this drug addiction. This is what they are saying. This is what they are saying. God, this is what they are saying. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel. Now, did you notice? He's no longer just calling him the God of Isaiah. You're the God of Israel. This is moving up. Come on up. Come on up. Come, come. And it's rising up. He says, God, you're the God who dwells between the cherubims. Thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are God here, and you are God over Sennacherib. You are God over all the nations. Thou hast made heaven and earth. You are greater than the greatest. You are bigger than the biggest. You are stronger than the strongest. You are God. And this problem is not going to overtake me, because I know it cannot overtake you. What posture are you taking concerning your finances, concerning your spiritual walk, concerning your marriage, concerning your children, concerning your house, concerning your business, concerning your job, concerning anything that happens in your life? Are you surrendering the power of your life in compromise to the devil? Or are you taking a stand and saying, my God reigns over all, and God, you're supreme, you're sovereign? Nobody can make that decision for you. Only you can. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which had sent him to reproach the living God. Did you notice those words? See it again. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which had sent him. The words sent him. The words sent him. Your words send you. Hear it. It's a spiritual law. Your words will send you into victory or send you into defeat. You choose. He says, hear the words of Sennacherib, which had sent him to reproach the living God. What words were these? The words from the devil himself. He says, of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands. I'm not denying the reality of that. I'm not denying the reality that this is cancer. I'm not denying the fact that this is COVID-19. I'm not denying that this is truly leprosy, AIDS, whatever the disease is. I'm not denying it. I'm not denying that this bank account is a total mess. I'm not denying it. I'm not denying that this is a real problem, that these guys have actually wiped out so many people. I'm not denying it. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed nations and their lands. And have cast their gods into the fire. Why? For they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, our God, our God. Not just the God of Isaiah, our God. I beseech thee. I am speaking now. Save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Because in the natural, we're no match. This guy is operating from Lachish, invisible, from a spiritual realm. We need your help, O God. 20. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah. Did you notice that? It is not Hezekiah sending emissaries to Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet, where he is in his house, hears from God and says to Hezekiah, thus said the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word that the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, hath despised thee. Oh, fighting words. Did you know all spiritual warfare is all about words? Yeah. See David and Goliath? It was battle of words. And then God says, tell that sucker, the virgin daughter of Zion hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. They're laughing. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Oh, don't you love how God fights? So you shooting your mouth at me? Let me tell you, it's the little kids, the girls, the virgins, they're not married yet. They're laughing at you. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eye on high? Even against the Holy One of Israel. Do you know who you're dealing with? Let's go on. By thy messengers, by your cohorts, you have reproached the Lord and have said, with the multitude of my chariots, I am come to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon, and I will cut down the tall cedar trees thereof and the choice fir trees thereof, and I will enter into the lodgings of his borders and into the forest of his camel. You're mouth enough. Go on. I have digged and drunk strange waters, and with the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of besieged places. You are mouth enough. I hear everything you said. Did you notice that those things that we just read, that the scriptures had not stated it before, but God saying, I hear everything. More than what they're showing up here. I know every detail. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass that thou shouldst be to lay waste fenced cities into ruinous heaps. 26. Therefore their inhabitants were of small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field and as a green herb, as the grass of the housetops and as corn blasted before it be grown up. But I know thy abode, and thy going out, and thy coming in, and thy rage against me. I know where you are. Because thy rage against me and thy torment is come up into my ears, therefore I will put my hook in thy nose. Come on now. See, when God is quiet, it's because he's patient, but there comes a time when he says, okay, that's it. You want to fight? It's not going to be a fight because you're finished. And that's what the Lord is saying concerning those things that face you today. I'm taking this on. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult has come up into my ears, therefore I will put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. You came here, I'm going to turn you back. And watch this. And this shall be a sign unto thee. Ye shall eat this year such things as grow of themselves, and in the second year that which springeth of the same, and in the third year sow ye, and reap, and plant vineyards, and eat the fruits thereof. Now he's talking to his people. You have no problem. I'm taking care of this. Let's go on. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. In other words, I'm going to establish you. You're going to multiply. You're going to know increase. These threatenings of the enemy, they are taken over by my authority. So, Pastor, what are you saying to us tonight? It's simple. God is saying to you and I, don't think of yourself that you are like everybody else. What happened to them doesn't have to happen to you. That's not your portion. God is saying, listen, you're going to see a dramatic change within 3 years. Steady, steady. Watch it. Verse 29. Watch it. See it. Right there in verse 29. He says, and this shall be a sign unto thee, ye shall eat this year such things as grow of themselves. And in the second year, that which springeth of the same. In other words, things that just grow by themselves. You didn't do anything about it. It's just happening. He says, and then in the third year, you're going to sow. And not only are you going to sow in the third year, you're going to also reap in the third year and plant vineyards and eat the fruits thereof. Everything in the same year. God is compacting the miracles, just pouring it on. Let's go on. He says, and the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah, escaped from the hands of the enemy, escaped from the onslaught of the evil one, shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Praise God. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. God is going to do this. Now, notice, for out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape. Why the word escape? Because God is not denying that there's a problem and that there is a harassment, but he's saying you're going to escape because he's not going to allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able to bear, but will provide a way of escape. You are going to escape not because you're running away. You're going to escape because whatever targeting the enemy is doing is not touching you. Why? You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. From Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. Let's look at the next verse. Therefore, thus said the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. He's not coming here. Watch this. Let's go on. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, said the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it. Why? For mine own sake. Not for your sake, my own sake, and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass. Don't you love this? And it came to pass. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord, one, went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. That's 185,000 people dead. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Oh, my Lord. They were all dead corpses. How can you have dead corpses? The corpses ever alive? Basically, God was saying they were very, 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 very dead, not to rise. The enemies that you see today, you shall see no more. Whoever it is that's positioned themselves to block your destiny, God will rid you of them permanently, will rid me of them permanently. They are people and things that will not rise again. Hear what I'm saying to you. This is a prophetic statement to every one of us tonight. And maybe next Sunday evening, I'm going to show you the prayer that God has sanctioned in his word to pray against destiny blockers. Word of God says, so Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. Interesting. Nineveh. And it came to pass as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, the one that he thought was the great victor, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, his own children, smote him with the sword, and he escaped into the land of Armenia. And Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. Sennacherib is dead. Two of his sons killed him and took off. That's what happens to destiny blockers. See, it took one angel. God has so many ways to resolve the problems that you face in life. He has so many ways to bless you. When we talk about destiny, we're talking about you fulfilling God's mandate for your life. I have a mandate over my life. There are things God wants me to do, and I have to do them. Your success in life is the success and well-being of another person. In an age and a time when businesses may want to get rid of particular individuals because they are believers out of your business, out of their business, corporations. In times like that, because you're a success in that which God has called you to do, you are capable of employing people and building your business. There are graces that God wants to bring the body of Christ into. And I pray tonight that every one of us, as God's people, will tap into the awesome graces that God has for us, so that we can experience the fullness of the goodness of the Lord. The enemy is outside. The enemy that's inside, because you and I embrace fear, that is the one that conquers you. If you refuse to be conquered and you turn your face to God, you will see God in action. And it will not be nice for the one who came after you. For whoever it is that comes after you is coming after God. Listen, child of God, please hear this. God created you for a reason. And he has an assignment for your life. And tonight I want to join with you and pray, God, you have a destiny for me. Help me fulfill my destiny. And whatever it is that is trying to block me, hinder me, cause me not to fulfill my destiny, let it be cut off. Occupy that thing, that person, that demonic force, with battles and wars that it cannot handle. Because I am not about to turn my face away from God. like Asa did. We talked about Asa. He, Asa, oh, maybe not to the general group, I shared that with our leadership. Asa did like Hezekiah did, sent everything away. And God said to him, listen, Asa, you gave the victory away. You gave what resources I have over to Ben-Hadad, son of a false god. And because you did it, you're going to have wars henceforth. That's not your destiny, to have wars. Your destiny is to be more than a conqueror. And may we together, by the authority of the word of God, stand in the integrity of the word of the Most High God and be everything God says we are called to be. That's my prayer for you, for me, for us corporately. God, arise and let every enemy be scattered and defeated once and for all. Amen and amen. With that, I will stop tonight, not because I am even close to being finished, but I'll stop now at this point and we'll take up this subject next Sunday evening. And hopefully I can wrap up this particular series at this stage as part one next Sunday. Rise with me wherever you are. Heavenly Father, sometimes we do not know what we're fighting at, or fighting against, or battling with. Sometimes we do. But how do you war against a spirit that is in Lachish, in an invisible realm? We need a God who operates in that realm to fight for us. Those men of Assyria, the 185,000 that were wiped out in one night by one angel, they did not see that angel. Lord, you have more ways to deliver us from evil. And tonight, as your prophet, I stand with your sons and your daughters, everyone born to a destiny, ordained and mandated by you, that whatever it is that the enemy has assigned against them, whatever word has come out of the mouth of the enemy to harass them, to blaspheme your name, the Lord God, that you, the mighty God of war, will shut them all up, shut them down, destroy them, bring them to naught. Let the angel of the Lord this night go forth and begin to cut down systems that have raised up their voice against the body of Christ. Lord, we repent before you for the erroneous pathways that we have followed in doing the wrong things, saying the wrong things, believing the wrong things. We come before your throne room this day and we place before your presence the letters of accusation, the attacks of the enemy. We say, oh God, do something extraordinary. God, who declared I'm going to cause you to eat in the first year that which grows by itself. And in the spring, the next year, that which springs forth out of that which grew out by itself. And in the third year, I'll cause you to sow and reap and have a harvest. God, you who have spoken that, yes, the enemy had come, but you're going to cause us to grow our roots downwards and bear fruits upwards. That it will be unto us now according to your declarations, according to thy word. Lord, bless your people and let the blessing be so obvious that it causes men and women, demonic forces and strongholds, to quake with fear, because the greater one lives in us. Get your people out of financial indebtedness, out of liabilities that have crippled and lamed them. Get them, O God, out of sicknesses and diseases that have caused them, O God, to be so subjected to the presence of weakness. Let every word that has sent the spirits of Sennacherib, living men, Lord, O God, let those words be shut down, and let the agents of the devil receive their judgment right this very moment. We ask it, so Lord, that your people may fulfill their divine destiny. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I give God praise for the opportunity once again to share the word of God with you tonight. I know that the Lord is faithful. His promises are yes and forever. Amen. And he who has declared grace upon our lives will empower us to succeed in every sphere. Tonight, before we share together in our time of offering, I want to remind you once again that 11 days from now, on the 17th of this month, we're going to have a very special meeting. It has been captioned, "Arise and be healed." I'm going to show you the video for this particular conference. There's also subtitles, "Status Change," because your status is going to change. That's right. And as you receive this, get yourself ready to sow a special seed and let God do for you great and mighty things. Remember the promise of God. Things are going to just happen for you. Things that you did not plant are going to produce for you. The blessing of God is upon your life. Don't you forget it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's watch it. Praise the Lord. That's going to be a powerful, powerful conference. I'm looking forward to it. I trust that you're doing the same. Now, don't just wait to attend or participate. Begin even now to pray for that conference and ask God for something that you want Him to do in your life. Status change. Things got to change. We've come through the reset. Now change is possible. Jesus said to the woman that was bent over, "Woman, thou art loosed." But then He touched her and she straightened up immediately. Pray, receive the word, and let God touch you. Now let's honor God with our giving all over, wherever you are, right now, watching on YouTube, Facebook Live, whatever platform you're watching from. It's offering time, and information on how you can give is on the screen. So use it. Those of you using in Canada, you can use the e-transfer mode, donation at gloryandpeace.com. That's your information. You can use the physical address 1296 Main Street, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R2W3T5. That's another way. You can come straight to the building and you can drop it in the mail chute. You can give through our website, through the donation button. There's so many avenues that you can use. So do use it, and may God graciously bless you and your family. In Jesus' name, be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Looking forward to seeing you this Wednesday for our Bible study and Friday for our prayer meeting. Good night. Love you. And chat with you Wednesday. Let's talk to those on Zoom.